Hi, I'm Nick Gregoriadis, and this is the Jiu-Jitsu Brotherhood Podcast. The show for grapplers and martial artists that want to evolve both on and off the mat.
Hey everyone, got a fantastic show for you today. It's a very, very interesting gentleman, John Hines, who's a black belt under Luis Claudio. And he's also an inventor and a personal trainer. Super cool guy. Before we get into the episode, I just want to let you guys know about our sponsors. As always, all of our best stuff is on store.jiu-jitsubrother.com. That's some amazing jiu-jitsu books and videos and some of the highest quality and coolest looking jiu-jitsu training gear you can find. So head on over to store.jiu-jitsubrother.com. Use the coupon code podcast and you'll get 10% off everything there. Also, if you want to try CBD oil and you're in the UK, head on over to truthnaturals.co.uk and use the code JJBTruth. That'll get you 10 quid off any of their fantastic and super high quality CBD oils and CBD based products. And then finally, project that is very close to my heart is my online membership site, which is called the Master Academy. It is all my latest jiu-jitsu training material. I'm teaching lessons here in Arizona, and we're filming those lessons and putting them up on the site. And it's also all of the material for my seminars as well. Plus, it's me interviewing a bunch of cool jiu-jitsu guys and getting them to teach me their latest and greatest jiu-jitsu discoveries. And not only that, there's also some bonus podcast episodes that you won't find anywhere else. So to get the Master Academy or access to the Master Academy, all you need to do is head on over to jiu-jitsumasteracademy.com and you can sign up for one of the packages there. If you use the code podcast again, you'll get a massive 15% off membership. I highly recommend you check out the Master Academy. It is something really special. Without further ado, here is a truly luminary mind, John Hines. Enjoy. Hey everyone, welcome back to the Jiu-Jitsu Brotherhood show, and this is episode 40 with very cool dude I met a couple of weeks ago, John Hines. John, before we even get into the actual interview, I just want to thank you because I've been having a lot of issues with my lower back. It started about 4 or 5 months ago. Mm-hmm. And I was like, oh, it's just part of getting older. And, you know, I'm someone who's I'm pretty in touch with my body. Like I do a lot of yoga, I do a lot of jiu-jitsu. I'm not just like the average dude on the street who doesn't understand anything about, you know, the way the body works. Yeah. And I couldn't fix it, dude. And I was really down about it. And I went to see John at his venue, Monkey Bar Gym in Madison, Wisconsin, and did a private lesson with him. And man, just that hour, the stuff you made me do, like I think what you were doing, it's my understanding, is you're trying to get me to activate certain muscles that hadn't been working. Right. But goddamn, my back is fixed, man. It blew my mind. Good. It blew my mind. I could not believe it because I've been in pain for months and months, and I've been trying different things. And thank it's you amazing. So much for that.
Yeah, you're welcome. It's nice to hear that. When it's always wonderful when people get to activate the body in the right way, and amazing things like that happen.
Uh-huh. So before we get into even more of that. It's my understanding, where are you originally from, John? Like, it's not Wisconsin, is it?
Yeah, I'm from Madison, but I lived in L.A. for a long time. I lived in the South Bronx for a while, lived in Chicago for a while.
So you've got a pretty interesting story. It's my understanding your dad was one of the first health and fitness gurus out there in the States.
I mean, he was the guy who really pioneered a jump roping program back in the early 70s. Everybody in the world has seen the beaded jump rope, and that was his jump rope. He was the one that really got that to be a main form of conditioning. And then he came out with using tubing for working out a couple of years after that. And that's what he did. And he's hustled that stuff and made people start to recognize that those are very good forms of exercise and for getting in shape.
So when you say tubing, you're referring to like any kind of resistance, like band type thing, like TheraBands or the actual tubes,
It's actual tubes.
Okay, now why?
And that's progressive variable resistance, because the further you stretch it, the harder it gets. Uh-huh. That's what that is.
I've always found it interesting that, like, you know, that the original Choke documentary with Hickson, where he's using those types of bands and cables a lot. He's using one particular one where he attaches it to his ankle, and then he's doing like adductor flies, and then he attaches it to his head and he's strengthening his neck. And I've never really understood why jiu-jitsu guys don't use those more. Like,
I don't understand either, because it's for MMA fighters. Like, you know Eric Paulson, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I made up a whole program for him a long time ago for his MMA fighters, for Muay Thai, for jiu-jitsu. We made a whole bunch of stuff up, and it's just really awesome. I mean, what, you can't use weights to practice single double leg takedown resisting them.
Mm-hmm.
You can't use weights really, you know, if you're doing left rights with your hands or left rights with your feet, with front kicks, foot jabs, leg kicks. You can resist all of those with cables.
Mm-hmm.
That makes sense. That's pretty badass. But then if you lay on your back, you do, you know, your leg circles with your feet for jiu-jitsu.
Mm-hmm.
You can do that as well. And you can, my friend Luis Claudio, the guy I got my black belt from, he uses cables for tons and tons of conditioning drills.
Mm-hmm.
So it just is applicable in so many ways that weights can't be used, because weights have a hard time being used in a horizontal plane.
Mm-hmm.
They do now with cable pulley machines with weights,
mm-hmm.
but you can then create momentum. With the cable, you can't, because the cable gets harder as the further you pull it.
Mm-hmm. I've also heard that like a cable is more analogous to a resisting opponent's muscle, because muscle fibers kind of work in a similar way to the way a cable or a strand would work. Is there some truth to that?
Yeah, because there's a pullback, and that you get a shove back. You know, when you're doing jiu-jitsu, you push, they push, mm-hmm. oftentimes. And so you get that feel sometimes, especially with the balance, and you can bring the cables from all types of directions and stuff. So mm-hmm. you can get it similar to like an opponent feel, where it offsets you oftentimes. And that's, it's just awesome training mm-hmm. for people.
Mm-hmm. So, John, I wanted to ask you, I wanted to talk a little bit more about the reason I think you're such an interesting guy is you're at this convergence point between functional training and jiu-jitsu. I know you don't train jiu-jitsu that much anymore, but what I found out about you the way I know it's the truth is you weren't the guy to tell me. Someone else told me, you know, it's like one thing when some guy comes and brags to you about something, but someone else told me that there are many pieces of modern gym equipment that either yourself or your father invented. I mean, we don't have to get into what those are, but like, I just want to say to the listeners, this guy knows what he's doing. He clearly has a very in-depth understanding of how to get the body to activate and engage. And I mean, it's my understanding that you've also been flown out by like Tony Robbins to train him and his team and stuff like that. Is that correct?
Yes, that's correct. I've been doing it a long time. I mean, I started strength training people. I mean, I'm 54 now, and I started when I was 16.
Uh-huh.
So my entire focus has always been training athletes. And so I've seen everything. I've done everything.
Mm-hmm.
And so therefore, I've invented a lot of equipment. And people that know, that want, you know, like Tony Robbins and stuff, heard about, you know, my knowledge base and stuff like that. So he flew me out, and we became good friends and stuff like that. And mm-hmm. so I occasionally go and speak for him, and I'm in his life mastery course as one of the speakers. So
mm-hmm.
I'm fortunate.
That's great. I mean, it just blew my mind. I keep going on about it, but I never, one of my black belt students, Arun, who's probably listening to this, I was out teaching a seminar there in Madison, Wisconsin. And it should be known that John is also the first person to bring jiu-jitsu to Madison. So he said, oh man, you got to come train with this guy. And I was just like, look, dude, I don't really have the time for this. I'm exhausted. This is like the fifth trip on the seminar tour, and I just want to relax. It's Sunday morning. And he's like, no, listen, you got to come train with this guy. You got to come train with him. So we get to your place, which is called Monkey Bar Gym. And man, I've been around people who work with the body and who are physical
and athletic for long enough to know the second I looked at you and the way you were standing, I instantly just said to myself, this guy's legit. Like, there's no doubt in my mind, this guy is in control of his body, and you know, he has good posture, his body is balanced. And then when I found out you were 54 years old, I was like, holy shit, I mean, there's no fucking way, like, this guy can really be 54. Turns out you are actually 54.
Yeah.
So what I'd like to, I think the best way you can provide value to the listeners today, John, is can you explain a little bit about your approach to health and longevity and exercise? It's my understanding you use something called the BACE system, which is building active stability through extension. Is that correct?
Yeah. BACE is an acronym for something I started a long time ago with my athletes. That's an offshoot of a yoga that I was lucky enough to learn from this master of movement, Roger Isons. He trained with BKS Iyengar for about 13 years. BKS Iyengar is the number one yogi in the world for a long time. Mm-hmm. And Roger trained with him directly. And I trained with Roger for about 7 years before I started teaching it on my own and at the Monkey Bar Gym. It's the only form of yoga and alignment training we do because it's active. And BACE came out of that because working with mostly athletes and fitness people, most of those people are more go, 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 and they want a concrete start stop. And so even though Isons yoga is highly technical, as you found out, that there's a lot of very specific, I need you to engage here, I need you to engage here, et cetera, like that. Mm-hmm. We can do it in manners where people who are more athletic, that generally are go-getter type personalities, mm-hmm. That we do it in a timed manner so they know when a pose is starting and ending and they know how long the whole sequence is going to take, mm-hmm. which works really great for them. And we can give them the feedback during the X amount of time, but also we throw in a lot of different things that wouldn't be in a normal yoga class, like brachiation, like I was teaching you, mm-hmm. for your shoulders, mm-hmm. and over and just various squats and stuff like that that aren't in a traditional yoga class. Mm-hmm. They're all put into the BACE system, and it works phenomenally well. And Isons yoga and BACE, and this is what I was telling you, is what I feel the key to being healthy and happy and strong at any age and maintaining that, even no matter what age you are, I feel the key is to have range of motion, range, basically. And as I was telling you, was I think I'm strong at 54 as I was at 25. I'm as mobile. I'm more mobile now than I was at 25. Mm-hmm. And the only thing that I cannot do the same as when I was 25 is I don't have a 47-inch vertical anymore. My vertical is like 31, 32 inches now. But it's still, that's a very good vertical jump. Mm-hmm. But that's the only difference physically. But the key, I feel, is maintaining my range of motion for every movement that I do. And so that when I have an open spectrum of whatever type of movement or skill that I want to do that is not diminished in any manner, my mind and my spirit are completely open as well. Mm-hmm. If you're diminished, like when you came in, your mind, you can't help it. You were like when I was in my 30s, when I met Roger, my back was messed up. My knee and my hip was messed up. And therefore, I can't have the same confidence. My spirit can't be as strong. Mm-hmm. You know, because I know if you pulled down on my head, if we were training jiu-jitsu and you neck cranked me, or neck snapped me, excuse me, I'd be worried as hell my back's going to go out. Mm-hmm. You know, if you tried to stack me, oh, God. You know, if you put me in a pretzel, some type of twist to my spine, oh, God, I'm going to tweak my back. You know, and you'd be worried all the time. So therefore, then you just have to play it super safe all the time. You can't play the game full out. Mm-hmm. And then your spirit starts to get dampened a little bit. Mm-hmm. And so what I always try and challenge people to do is get back to where your ranges are full and everything. And then we add the strength and then we add the speed to those very movements that the BACE gives you the basic positioning of. Mm-hmm. And when people get that all together, at any age, I can sprint as fast as I want. I can jump off one leg. I can do whatever I want, flips, whatever, and feel totally confident and comfortable that I'm not going to tweak anything.
Yeah.
I mean, that's freeing.
Yeah, freeing is a good word. I mean, so much of what you've just said resonates with me. I understood a long time ago that, look, we're all going to age and we're all going to die. There's no getting out of it. That's the nature of the game we're playing, right? But there are definitely people who age gracefully and maintain their faculties until pretty much the end. And there are other people who become decrepit and degenerate rapidly after a certain point. And what you said to me during our conversation, I just spent 3 weeks on the road. I'd met a lot of interesting people, done a lot of jiu-jitsu, like been exposed to a lot of new thoughts and ideas. And that for me was the most important thing I picked up on that whole trip is when, as you said, it's the range of motion. I'd always known what that phrase range of motion meant with regards to a physical context, like having a range of motion in your shoulder or your hip. But when you started speaking about maintaining the range of motion in your mind, that blew me away. And I realized a lot of people, like you said, they stop doing things because they either can't or they think they can't. And then what happens, even if they think they can't, they stop doing it, which means that range of motion closes down a little bit more, which means there's less things they can do, which means when there's less things that they can do, there's other things that they can't do. And then that eventually they become crystallized and the aging process starts really rapidly to kick in. And I think people like yourself, you know, it's one of the things I always look at it in life. I always think to myself, look, I'm a human being. I have a right to health and happiness and success just like anyone else does. No more than anyone else, but no less than anyone else. So if I see a precedent in any field, if it's success in business or if it's a happy relationship or whatever, I know if someone else can do it, there must be a chance I can do it too. And seeing you at 54 and others like you, there's a couple other people I've met who's similar. It's such a cool thing for me to know, okay, cool. I don't have to be like my dad was when he was 54, who couldn't even like do any jiu-jitsu with me because his body was basically shot. Yeah. I could be like this guy. It might not be easy. It might be challenging and I might have to make some changes in my life, but there is a precedent that has been set. So I want to thank you very much for that, John. That's very, very cool.
Yeah.
Very, very cool. So, John, I think it would be difficult for anyone without getting some of your material, which I'll mention at the end, some links to material or doing a lesson with you in your actual gym to get the full benefit of what you have to offer. But for the lazy people who are only going to listen to this show, they're all jiu-jitsu guys, and I'm sure a lot of them are suffering a little bit because jiu-jitsu really can and does mess your body up. What do you think are some changes? First of all, what are things that you see all jiu-jitsu guys have in common when it comes to like dysfunction that's appearing in their body? And what are the simple things that they can do to maybe alleviate some of that?
Well, one is the round. You're actually a prime candidate for most of the things. Mm-hmm. The rounding of the shoulders. And they're all reversible. The rounding of the shoulders, the bowing of the legs, the tightening of the hips. Because most jiu-jitsu guys static stretch. And that's one thing I haven't talked about yet is I'm adamant against static stretching.
Okay. Can you explain what static stretching is?
Sure. Static stretching is a perfect example. It's like you reach over, you grab your toes, and you pull your chest towards your knees. Mm-hmm. And your body's reaction, your hamstrings react by tightening to try to prevent a tear in the hamstring. For example, you pulled my neck down really hard, my back of my neck muscles would try to resist it, right? Mm-hmm. Lift my head up. If I can't lift my head up, and you just cranked on it and I'd strain my neck muscles. That's sort of what's happening when a body goes into a static stretch. The muscles that people supposedly try to stretch resist the stretch. So what we do instead, and I learned this from Roger, and that is why his Aishin yoga is so different, and Iyengar yoga, they're different because every pose is active. So instead, the difference between an active and a static pose or stretch is that the muscle that people in static stretching, they're trying to stretch a muscle and it fights the stretch. Mm-hmm. In an active position, the muscle is relaxed and lengthens naturally. So how does that happen? It happens by what's called reciprocal inhibition. So if you like flex your bicep right now, your tricep will relax and lengthen. Mm-hmm. Your bicep will shorten, your tricep will lengthen. So in most bodies, the hips are so tight and the thighs are so tight, the hamstrings get long. So then what most people do, because they're following everybody else who did it before them, they feel tightness in the hamstrings. Okay, so then they stretch the hamstring. That's the last thing you want to do. You want to shorten the hamstring and open naturally your hip flexor. Mm. So that's one thing that I did with you, and that worked really great. Mm-hmm. Another thing was a lot of jiu-jitsu guys, their legs bow. And that's from sitting in a butterfly and the guard and stuff like that. Our legs are always like in that rounded position on our backs. Mm-hmm. And so the legs get into this bowed position. And then guys also, they'll sit butterfly and they'll grab their feet and they'll push their knees down and, you know, and pull their head towards their feet. Mm-hmm. That's a seriously hardcore static stretch. And it's not healthy for your back at all. We'll catch up with people and does. And so what with you, for example, I worked shins in to work your adductors. Because if you work your adductors, then you create more extension. And that helped your back then.
Yeah.
Even your upper back. Mm-hmm. So adduction helps extension. And that extension goes all the way along the backside of your body through your head. And so instead of just sitting in a position where your body's hanging again and resisting it, like most people do, and they grab their feet in a butterfly position, mm-hmm. I want you to maybe be in a standing position where you're working your shins in. And okay. Then you can work extension in different ways, like I had you do, and that worked also.
And that's why you were getting me, for example, to like lie on my back in the like a bridge position and then squeeze the block between my ankles and my knees, because that engages the adductors. Is that correct?
Exactly, and that helps extension. So that gave you a pure hip extension, which most jiu-jitsu guys lack.
Which is interesting, because the hip extension is one of the most important and powerful movements you can use in jiu-jitsu. And you're saying that most jiu-jitsu guys can't even do that efficiently because their bodies have been so badly trained or badly treated.
Yeah, and then their hips are super tight. So then if the hips are short and tight, the hamstrings are long and weak. And so what I had you do is I put you in a position where you had to work adduction, and then you could officially work hip extension. So your hammies tightened, then your hammies shortened, which then allowed your hip flexors to relax and open.
Okay.
And that's why when you stand up instantly, you feel relief in your back.
Yeah, big time. Again, I cannot stress how impressed I was, and I still am, because I mean, my back was, I was at the point where I was like, I don't even think I can do jiu-jitsu anymore, because after every session, I was in so much pain. And it's been like over a week now, and I feel great. And I've been practicing. The thing is, I have been practicing the things that you showed me. I really do appreciate that, John. So you were saying the first thing you'd want to get a jiu-jitsu guy to do is strengthen the hamstrings or engage the hamstrings to open up the hips.
And then, if they follow like one of our base sequences mm-hmm. that's on our online, we have an online membership and we have a ton of sequences on there that will help jiu-jitsu guys create more extension in a balanced manner. Mm-hmm. If they do that with the hips, they'll open the hips up big time.
Okay.
But that same pose opens the shoulders up as well, because you got to drive your elbows into the ground. Mm-hmm. And that helps to set your shoulder blades back. Which most jiu-jitsu guys, their shoulder blades slide out. And that because they're so rounded all the time. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And so what this does, it helps pull them back. And that brings instant relief to their shoulders because they're sitting in a better position. Mm-hmm. And all of the poses that are in the base sequence and even in the Aishin's Yoga beginner sequence, all of them work that extension. And so whether you do one of the Aishin's Yoga sequences or the base sequences, mm-hmm. like I said, if they do that every day at the end of class, that's what I taught jiu-jitsu for 10 years almost. Mm-hmm. And before I had one of my students take over. And
every class, at the end of class, that's what we'd finish with, a yoga sequence, an Aisha yoga sequence. That's and fantastic. It works. Yeah.
So you're recommending against doing any form of static stretching for everyone, including jiu-jitsu guys, and then trying to do as much active stretching as possible. And it's my understanding, okay, let's take that example you used, which is the hurdler stretch. So you're sitting down on your butt, you have one foot folded in to touch the inside of your thigh, and the other leg is extended, and you're reaching for your toes. Your chest is going towards your knees. That's a passive stretch. How could someone turn that into an active stretch?
For sure.
Okay.
So let's say normally when you do it, you grab your bottom of your foot, and your leg is straight, and your bent leg is, your knees up a little bit, and you just hang. Mm-hmm. And your hamstring is firing. Okay, so instead of hanging, let your torso come more upright. So you actively extend and lift your chest and lift the crown of your head. Mm-hmm. But not only that, but I want you to flex your thigh. So try to flex your leg into extension and flex your foot even, dorsiflex your ankle. Mm-hmm. So you pull your toes towards your shin, but you got to turn the thigh on.
Okay.
Turning the thigh on will relax the hammies. Mm-hmm. Okay. Working into extension with your upper back will also keep the extensors in the upper back a little bit engaged, so you're not hanging on your upper back either. And just those two will greatly work it, but also with your bent leg, work by actively working your knee to the ground on your bent leg. Huh. And so you can really work into the extension on your spine. You can work into knee extension on the straight leg and even the bent leg. Work that knee in abduction, working it out towards the floor. And then you take a static stretch and you make it a very positive, active stretch.
Okay. Now, it's my understanding from my own work with these kinds of stretches that another fantastic thing about them is which has been a philosophy of mine for a long time, is you want to strengthen as you stretch. It's not good just having these lax muscles, because one thing I've noticed is hypermobile guys in jiu-jitsu always get injured.
Because when you do a static stretch, understand that what are they doing generally? Most of the guys, they stretch their adductors, they stretch their hamstrings. If their hips are tight, then their hamstrings are already long. So what they're doing is stretching a long muscle. And because they're not lengthening, because they're not doing it where one muscle shortens, the other muscle lengthens, they're just simply stretching one muscle. Mm-hmm. And because you're not doing it in balance, the joint then becomes lax, where the joint becomes loose. And that's where guys that stretch a lot get into problems. Mm-hmm. The sports with the most off-season surgeries, and this is a fact, is gymnastics and martial arts and dance. They all static stretch like crazy.
Wow. I mean, the information and the advice that you've given is so invaluable, and I really, really do appreciate it.
Yeah.
John, I want to start bringing the interview to a close. There's a couple more things I want to discuss with you. Mm-hmm. I don't ask this of all my guests, but I just feel that you might have an interesting answer, and I don't want to put any pressure on you when I ask it, but I've met enough people and I've traveled enough and I've been exposed to enough different things in life at this point whereby I can usually tell when someone has something, and that's something I'm referring to almost like, wisdom isn't the right word, but just kind of like a presence or like a connection to something that is a spirit, like a connection to their spirit. Like, and it definitely felt that you had it. And I wanted to ask you, we didn't get into a chance to discuss this while I was there. I'm sure we would have if I'd spent any more time with you, but what is your philosophy of life and what we're doing here and how to live a good life. Can you share anything you've learned to this point?
Yeah. One thing I say a lot in life is I before we before all. When you're learning jiu-jitsu, it's about you. It's I. When you start to assist in teaching classes, it's about we. It's about the team. When you get to a higher level, like your interview with Hodger, he impacts a greater audience all over the world. And then it's about I before we before all, and he impacts all. Mm-hmm. So what my objective is and what I feel like I'm here on this planet to do is make impact on the planet in a positive manner. And I have always felt that in my heart that what I do is I want to help. But before I do that, I have to be a shining example of what is possible. Because if I'm anything less, then who am I to tell? And so I strive constantly to be an example of what is possible so that I may inspire other people through just by how I am, or I may inspire them through my words and my wisdom and my experiences in life. And one of the, and those, that's just how I, what I feel like I'm here for, is to make impact on the planet in a positive way.
That's great.
Because I look at the government today, and I look at, there's so many things, and I feel physical change is the way that I help people make positive change in the world. Because the thing that I was talking to you about is range. If you lack it, you can't have the, your spirit and your mind cannot be as confident. So what I strive to do is help people open up their range and their confidence and their spirit. And when you do that in a people helping people manner, because that is what I teach at my gyms as well. It's about people helping people. And when I do that, then I feel like I'm helping people to do what they intrinsically want to do, which is help another human being.
That's great.
And if I can be a catalyst to that, but then when we start to do that, we become more conscious of ourselves and other people, and then of the foods that we take in, and then of the whole planet. So that's what I, that is what I strive to do. And that's what my Monkey Bar Gyms are all about, is people helping people and then people helping planet.
Fantastic, John. That is so cool. I'm reminded of, it's been something that I've had on my mind and an understanding that I've come to recently. Those who have followed my work on my original podcast, London Real, and then the Journey podcast, and also on Jiu-Jitsu Brotherhood, they've often heard me speak of the spiritual teacher Osho. And, you know, there's this new series on Netflix, which I cannot recommend highly enough. It's called Wild, Wild Country. And it's all about Osho's commune that he set up in Oregon in the 70s. It's a fucking mind-blowing story. Even if you're not interested in him or his work, it is an absolutely mind-blowing story. But you know, I've watched it twice now, and it brought me to the realization that, you know, I always used to think that enlightenment was automatically aligned with moral virtue and goodness and being a good person. And I realized that they don't necessarily have anything to do with each other. Sometimes there is overlap, and enlightened people are good quality people, and sometimes they're not. And I really saw after watching this, this series, that Osho didn't have the I before the we, before the all. He wasn't, I mean, it's a judgment and it's a loaded word, but I don't think he was a particularly good person. And having understood that, it's been very difficult for me because, you know, there's a lot of truth in his messages, but he's compromised it. Or he compromised it by not being the shining light about which you spoke. So it's very cool for me to hear you reflect back at me something I've had on my mind for a long time. Thank you so much for that, John.
Yeah, that's an interesting point you're making.
Have you watched that series yet?
I'm going to watch it now.
Dude, it's going to blow your mind. Dude, it is going to blow your mind. Let me. I'd love to chat to you about it once you've watched it. John, my brother, thanks so much for your time. If the listeners want to get in touch with you and check out your amazing programs or even come visit you at your gym, which I highly, highly recommend you do, how can they get in touch?
The easiest way is monkeybargym.com.
Okay.
If you want to learn our base or Aishin's yoga sequences, you can download, you can sign up and download those, or just simply download them. You can have a month-to-month membership of our training and our base practices, and or they can just simply download them and do them on their own on a regular basis. That's what I would recommend most people do. And if you ever want to come by like you did, Nick, I love having people come and visit here, and I love to meet people and help them out if I can. That's what I'm here for. So if you can, come on through.
Awesome. John, 1,000 blessings on you and everything that you are doing. And I look forward to seeing you again soon.
It's really nice talking to you, my friend. And I look forward to seeing you again someday soon.
You know, sometimes after those podcasts, I just feel fired up. And that was one of those episodes. Very, very cool guy. Very actualized. I really felt after spending time with that guy. You know, there's this expression, your vibe attracts your tribe. And it doesn't always happen, but sometimes I'll meet someone and I'm just like, yeah, this guy's part of my tribe, or I'm part of his tribe, or we're part of the same tribe. And I really appreciated that I before we before all. I think it made a lot of things clear to me about the virtues of, you know, presenting yourself. If you want to be someone who wants to change the world and affect people and make things better, you better take care of yourself first. It's no good being the fat, overweight guy who's trying to sell fitness products, or the guy who's been through 3 or 4 divorces trying to teach people how to live their lives. It just doesn't make sense. You need to be a paragon or a person of virtue before you do that. And I think John Hines is that. If you have the chance to head on over and train with him at his Monkey Bar Gym in Wisconsin, if you're at all interested in physical culture and conditioning, you owe it to yourself to head out and train with that guy, or at the very least head on over to his Monkey Bar Gym website and check out some of his programs. He's really a truly original thinker when it comes to human movement and human potential. Hope you guys enjoyed that episode, and I will speak to you in a week. Peace out.